Elevation Worship. The song is entitled Grace Like a Wave. Ah, yeah, rushing over. I want you to hear something from Seeker.com. Now, how many of you have an interest in having batteries that last a while? How many of you are thinking about eventually getting a car that has a battery in it? You want that baby to last a while. It's not just your phone batteries. We want those to last a while, don't we? Not just the flashlight batteries. Batteries for all kinds of purposes. Check out what Mr. Trace Dominguez is going to be saying about batteries and battery life.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Seeker Plus today. I am Trace, and this is episode 3 of 3 in our very exciting, very weird series on batteries. Make sure you subscribe so you get all the episodes in this series and all the other shows here on Seeker. And check us out as well if you want to get an audio version of this whole series on SoundCloud and iTunes and Anchor and Spotify. You name it, we are there. Okay, so you've already heard about how batteries have a longer history than you know, about how atoms actually move within the battery, which is awesome. But today we're going to talk about how a battery may never die. Well, this specific one anyway. We're going to talk about solid batteries, liquid batteries, electrical storage devices that aren't even considered batteries, and where this march of technology is actually going. It's going to be super great, so let's kick into it. The future of batteries is going to be weird and crazy. Right now, there's the anode, it gives up electrons, the cathode that takes them, and the electrolyte that connects the two together, right? That's often a liquid or a gel. This is every battery. There are also stretchy liquid or gel batteries. Those are things that exist. The thing is, those battery types are all kind of traditional. What about batteries of the future? So think of stretchy batteries or liquid batteries, gel batteries. These are all things that exist. We've talked about them before here on Seeker, and they are still often based on the same kind of structure. Lithium-ion batteries are great. The thing is, though, they're inflexible. They can't be bent. They can't be, you know, reformed in any way. They're also inflammable, which, by the way, means the same thing as flammable. We had a conversation amongst our team about that. Yeah, they mean the same thing. So a team of researchers created a new kind of glue that can bind the battery elements together in a flexible framework using hydrogels. They can take the anode and the cathode and they can put in a springy shape or into a bendable shape to create a battery that's stretchy. But it's still not great because it's still based on lithium ion technology. So it's a solid lithium inside of a stretchy case. The lithium doesn't flex, just the case flexes. So if we want something that's really moldable, we're going to have to go away from that altogether to a whole new kind of chemistry. And that brings in liquid batteries. Using the chemistry of electric eels, some researchers have created a liquid battery. Biomimicry, by the way, is my favorite thing. It's when we copy nature. And it's actually, well, actually it's my second favorite thing. My first favorite thing is Beyonce mimicry or Bey mimicry. Yeah, it's a thing. Anyway, biomimicry. By alternating patterns of saltwater and freshwater hydrogels, you can create a liquid battery. Because saltwater carries negative charges. It's got ions in it. The negative ions from the saltwater move into the freshwater when they're placed in little packets next to each other. So when they're arranged in a lattice of these little packets, voila, a battery, which is super cool. But it's still not practical yet. Something that might be practical is going the other way. When batteries go hard, we get solid-state batteries. In Nature Materials in 2011, there was a solid electrolyte researched, and it can move ions just like a gel can, but it does it without explosions or sensitivity to cold, which a saltwater freshwater battery would have. It also doesn't use gel, which is great because the gel is part of the problem with lithium ion batteries and their explosive capabilities. So what they did is they used a 3D tetrahedral framework of lithium, germanium, phosphorus, and sulfur. This framework lets the ions move through the lattice, hopping from one molecule to the next. Again, it's not a gel. It's a solid. It's sort of like the atomic version of a jungle gym. The ions are just moving through the lattice, jumping from one molecule to the next. You could actually, according to the researchers, quote, drive a nail through the battery and it wouldn't explode. And plus, It's safe for hundreds of thousands of charge cycles. But we don't actually have it because it was super experimental back in 2011. And even though it's been years, and we tend to think of technology as advancing quicker and quicker and quicker, in reality, it takes a long time to come up with these inventions. They didn't plan the next iPhone starting after the previous one was released. They're years ahead of their release schedule. You know, they're planning the iPhone 12 probably now, right? And that's how science works as well. So even though in the intervening years they've come out with super ionic materials, which are crystalline structures that ions can hop through, they haven't actually perfected them into battery technology. And still, most of these electrolytes, maybe you've noticed, are lithium-based, and none are commercially available. As Alex said earlier in the episode, it's a lot of trial and error to figure out what materials and chemistry work the best inside of these very specific conditions. We're trying to make nature do something that on its own it doesn't really seem to do. You don't just, you know, plug into a tree and get electricity, right? Nature doesn't naturally want to create this kind of chemistry. It's volatile and it could be damaging. So instead, we have to bend chemistry and bend nature to our will. And that takes some time. And of course, all of these batteries still have that same problem that we've sort of alluded to throughout this whole series, and that is that they'll die unless we can find a way to make them not die, like with the vanadium redox flow battery. It's a really cool design. It's essentially like the liquid battery in that there are different groups of electrolytes. However, it's completely different.
Yeah, and does it exist? Will it exist within a few years? Or this, is this something that is on a drawing board and we may not see it for another 30 years?
I had a write-up on the vanadium redox flow battery in 2014. It uses a 250-kilowatt battery system inside of a 40-foot container, and it's hooked up to a solar or wind energy project usually. So that way you have this battery that potentially never dies and is recharged by renewable energy. The chemical reactions inside of this battery work like this. There are two electrolyte solutions, the catholyte and analyte with vanadium. Vanadium, by the way, in case you aren't familiar with the periodic table, it's number 23. It's a natural transition.
What do you think, ladies and gentlemen?
Charging situation, it moves at more like 5 or 10 hertz, but that's enough to charge a battery. So imagine that we could create a space where that happened all the time, whether it was your office building or your home or your car or all three. We would just need the battery to last in between those places. And if you went to another building and there was a standard, your battery would just be charged all the time. Last year, researchers created a room that was entirely filled with these alternating fields, potentially powering everything in the space. It's not ready yet, but imagine, just imagine, everything charged all the time, no matter where you were. In movies, there's alien technologies, right, that stop working when they take it away from the alien ship or planet. It's a nice plot device, but to be honest, it's also a nice idea because maybe the reason the alien technology stops working is because it's not near the wireless charging ports that they had, right?
What do you think? Should we be thinking about this? Should we be considering it? Do you think that we'll have a battery that will power airplanes, yachts, and all that kind of stuff for hours and hours and hours and hours with no problems? Be back in a few. Let's get ready to take a look at organic foods. How do you know when it is time to go organic, to put some organics on your table? We'll take a look at that. Everyday Health will help us with that answer.